It seems like Noah turns into the Birdman of Alcatraz, starts throwing birds out of the ark. So ravens, they always remind me of Pharisees, strutting around in their black stuff. They eat dead stuff. What do you think might be revealed or floating on the top of the water that a raven could eat? There's a feast for this thing. Hi, and welcome again as we look at some parts of the Noah story. Now, I want to look at two almost like drive-by parts of the Noah story this morning because they turn up right towards the end of the story. One of them is in chapter 8 and verse 6, and the other one's over in chapter 9. Because in chapter 8 and verse 6, it seems like Noah turns into the Birdman of Alcatraz because he starts throwing birds out of the ark. Not throwing them, but releasing them. So let's have a look. Chapter 8 and verse 6, this is what it says. Noah opened the window that he had made in the boat, it's in the ark, and he released a raven. The bird flew back and forth until the flood waters on the earth had dried up. Now let me ask you a question. It's a bit of a trick one. Now, I don't normally ask people trick questions, but I want to ask one this time. Is a raven a clean or an unclean animal? Now, before we answer that, let's just remember this is before the law. So at this point, ravens haven't been declared clean or unclean. And that's quite important to remember because that means we have to actually judge this animal and look at this animal. Judge, that sounds terrible, but we have to look at this bird, this animal, this flying thing, from the point of view of its characteristics, not whether it's classified as clean or unclean. Because often something's characteristics make it clean or unclean. So ravens, they're incredible things. I just watch them jump around. They're always bigger than I think they're going to be, and they leap about, and they make great squawking noises, and they look quite stern. They always remind me of Pharisees. Crows and ravens, like they look like Pharisees, strutting around in their black stuff. They look very legalistic to me. I don't know why, but they eat dead stuff. They'll sit on a carcass and peck away at it all the time. You're driving down the road, there's a bunch of ravens sitting on roadkill. And they'll eat it. It's called carrion. They'll eat carrion, decaying flesh. So now just imagine, Noah opens the window on the ark, chucks out this raven. All humanity, all animals have died in the flood. And As the water's receding and as dry ground starts to appear in different places, what do you think might be revealed or floating on the top of the water that a raven could eat? Any guesses? You see, corpses, right? So there's a feast for this thing. And it goes out there and it sits down. They'll settle anywhere, ravens. They'll just settle on anything and peck on it. And that's what this raven does. And then it goes backwards and forwards between the ark and the dead stuff that it's eating. But it never goes back into the ark. It just sits on the roof, probably. I don't know where it sits. But it just flies. And the word in here, it says this. And it goes to and fro until the flood waters of the earth had dried up. It went to and fro. It's moving backwards and forwards. But between dead things and a place to set its feet, it'll sit on a carcass and float around the water. It'll sit and eat, and it goes to and fro. Now, another question is this. Where is a place in the Bible where something that we might consider unclean uses the expression to and fro over the face of the earth. Now, I've looked it up beforehand, make it easier to turn to and quicker. If you've got a Bible and you want to check the book of Job, Job chapter 6, chapter 1, verse 6. This is what it says, Job chapter 1 and verse 6. It also says it again in Job chapter 2 and verse 2. This is what it says. One day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Where have you come from? It's almost like a cheeky, like, "Where have you come from?" Like he doesn't know. Like it's almost like, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming to and fro on the face of the earth." From roaming through the earth, going to and fro on it. In chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, it says this. On another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself. And the Lord said to him, "Where have you come from?" You can see just Satan answered, "From roaming through the earth, going to and fro in it." Going back. And the language here, the language of to and fro, going to and fro, it seems like it's picked up in Job. It's written here in Genesis. This raven, this basically scavenger thing, goes hacking away and picking away at dead stuff. And it doesn't really tell Noah anything. But now, listen what happens. Then he sends out a dove or a pigeon. Some Bibles have got pigeons and doves, and the words interchangeable. Now I've heard people go on and on and on and on about the difference between pigeons and doves. They're both the same classification of animal. They come under Columbidae, depending on how you pronounce it. That's the classification of the flight. A lot of people call them rats with wings, all right? But doves are like nice turtle doves, and lovebirds are often depicted as doves, flying doves. They're on the willow pattern pottery, the Chinese story of the willow pattern. They're there. And they're in different things, little lovebirds and all these type of things. So they're there around. And I know lovebirds are a different type of bird as well, but often turtle doves and lovebirds are interchangeable. And pigeons and doves in the Bible are also interchangeable. But the strange thing about doves is this, is that they turn up as early as Genesis 15 as a sacrifice. Now think about that. You got this raven, this that feeds on decaying flesh, and then you got the next thing to be released turns up in sacrifices. It turns up in Genesis 15. It turns up in Leviticus 14 as a sacrifice, and also in Luke chapter 2 and verse 24, Mary and Joseph offer a pair of pigeons, doves, as a sacrifice for the birth of their son Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit descends on Jesus after his baptism in Luke chapter 3 and verse 22 in the form of a dove. Now, the Holy Spirit isn't a dove. All right, so be very clear on that. The Holy Spirit isn't a dove. And it doesn't become a dove. It says in form like a dove. So it's not saying the Holy Spirit is a dove, but we often use that symbol as the Holy Spirit as a dove, pigeon, a dove, and it descends on Jesus. So when Noah releases this dove from the ark and it flies across the face of the water, it's almost like it's the second time it's happened in biblical history. Because in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, it says that the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the face of the water, and the Holy Spirit hovered over the face of the deep. Now, in some translations, it uses a great word. It says that the Holy Spirit brooded. I love that. brooded over the face of the deep, getting ready to create. He's ready there. He's waiting for the command of God to create, and he's brooding over it. And it's almost like that here, that as Noah releases this dove, the Holy Spirit, the symbol of the Holy Spirit. It's a beautiful word picture, really, of the Holy Spirit hovering over the face of the waters as he's getting ready to recreate, to remake the earth, to come around on this rebirth thing. The Holy Spirit, he doesn't settle on decaying stuff, right? So the dove goes out and he comes back to the ark. And Noah reaches out and takes the dove back into the ark, takes the dove back into the place of salvation, the place of rescue. And again, it's just a great picture that the Holy Spirit lives and goes out from and comes back to the place of salvation, the place of rescue for human beings. And Noah reaches out his hand and he catches his bird and he brings it back in 7 days later. Three sevens. People who love numerology love the fact that there's three sevens in this releasing of the dove coming backwards and forwards. Now, if you want to go and pursue that as a study, it'd be a great thing to study. That number three times he releases the bird, and it's for 7 days at a time. So it comes back, and he waits 7 days, then releases it again, waits 7 days, releases it again, waits 7 days, releases it again. Again, great word picture, great thing to study. Great thing to get your brain around and to chew on. And he releases this bird and it comes back and then comes back and he pulls it back inside. Then he releases it again and then it comes back with an olive branch, an olive petal of an olive bush or an olive branch, depending on which translation you read. And that's where we get the symbol of peace from. The olive branch, he's reaching out the olive branch. This is where it comes from. Right here in Genesis chapter 8. And so it's like God making peace through the symbol of the Holy Spirit with humanity. And I just love the picture of this in here. And it's almost like a drive-by story, this statement. And I believe it's there for a reason, for us to look at and to wonder at, and to wonder at the incredible writing and the incredible symbolism that are embedded in this strange story of Noah releasing birds at the end of the flood. And so the Holy Spirit comes back in this form. The dove comes back to the boat carrying this symbol of peace. And then Noah releases it a third time. And this time it doesn't come back. Why? Because there's fresh ground for it to land on. It doesn't have to settle on a corpse. Let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit comes into our life and starts to do a work of cleaning us up inside. It's not our work. It's not us that does this. The Holy Spirit comes and he does it inside us and around us and changes our habits and changes the way that we function as human beings. And he makes us, as Paul says to the Corinthian church, don't you realize you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? And he makes us a fit habitation for the Holy Spirit of God to live in, which is an incredible thought, because he's not like a raven. He's not going to hang around decaying flesh and feed on decaying flesh. He wants to bring new life, new birth, just like in the story of Noah, this new birth that humanity is about to experience as they come out of the ark. Now, I want to flip straight over to the second little story. Now, you might think, how do these two go together? But I think they do, actually. I think they do. If you flip over to chapter 9, we looked at this story last week. It's Noah getting hammered. Chapter 9 and verse 20, this is what it says. After the flood, Noah began to cultivate the ground. In the other translations, it calls him a man of the soil, which I love, and I explained that last week. He planted, cultivated the ground, and he planted a vineyard. One day, he drank some of the wine that he had made, and he became drunk and laid naked inside his tent. Now listen to what happens. Verse 22, Ham, the father of Canaan, saw that his father, Noah, was naked and went outside and told his brothers. Ham goes in, sees his dad totally rat-faced, drunk, naked and exposed in his tent. And he goes outside and he starts to mock his father. He starts to verbally abuse his dad. Now, let me ask you a question. Might seem a strange question. Abuse, verbally abusing somebody, does that sound like the character of God? Look at what happens next. He goes out and he abuses his dad verbally to his brothers. In the Bible, the devil is called the accuser of the brethren, the accuser of humanity. And that just sounds like that here. Ham goes out and accuses his dad and mocks his dad in front of his brothers. Then, in verse 23, Shem and Japheth took a robe. Now think about this. They took a robe and held it over their shoulders between them. So they got this robe stretched between them, going out this way. So the robe stretched between them, between Shem and Japheth. And as they walk in, they walk in backwards so that they don't look at their dad. And they cover up their dad's nakedness. Now, let me ask you a question. Which of those two sounds more like the nature of God? Mockery and abuse, or covering up my nakedness? When I think about my life, there is plenty in my life that God can accuse me of. Plenty that I can be abused over. But God comes along and covers me. He covers me. Covers me with his mercy and grace. Covers me with his forgiveness. Covers me. That's the character of God. And Why do I talk about these two things together? Ravens and doves, mockery and covering. Somebody said to me the other day, in the middle of the times that we're living in, they said this. They said, Phil, what do you think God's telling us during all this? People keep asking. I got an email from somebody saying, can you sit down and can you just preach a couple of minutes, sort of 4 or 5 minutes on what you think God's telling us during this time? You know what? I don't think God's telling us anything different now than he's been telling us for the last few millennium. I really don't. I don't think there's a COVID message. I really don't. I really don't think there's a COVID prophecy. I really don't. God gives us the choice in the middle of the chaos of the flood, in the middle of the Roman invasion of Palestine. His word never changed to his people. Through all the slavery and exile that his people went through, through all the trials and tribulations that we've gone through as a human race, through the First World War and Second World War, through Vietnam, through all the different wars that have affected different countries, through the Falklands, through different things. God's message to us has never changed. He's always given us the choice. Do we want to be ravens or doves? Do we want to be mockers and abusers or coverers of people's nakedness? His message has never changed. And honestly, I don't think it's changed now. He gives me the same choice. He asks me, do you want to act? Do you want to act like something that feeds on decaying flesh? Who feeds on bad news? Who feeds on terror and scaring people and feeds on sensationalism? Or do you want to be somebody who hovers around peace and reconciliation and salvation and new birth? Do you want to be somebody who points out somebody's faults all the time, or do you want to be somebody who covers up those faults? Hey, God has got a job for us to do on planet Earth. And it doesn't matter what crises we are in the middle of, I don't think that job ever changes. I have a choice today to be a raven or a dove. I have a choice today to be a mocker or a coverer. And I ask myself the question, which is most like the character of God? And that's the question I want to ask you today. Which is most like the character of God, raven or dove? Mocker and abuser or coverer of our nakedness? I thank God that he covers my nakedness. I thank God that he covers my sin. I thank God that his grace and his mercy forgives me. Thank God that he sends his Holy Spirit to live in me so that I don't have to be like decaying flesh. That I can be like somebody who's reborn and given a new chance on planet Earth. And I pray that for you today too. So please, keep studying this story of Noah. It's a great, great study. Bless you. Thank you for listening. And stay safe. Raven or dove? Raven or dove? Mocker or coverer? You choose. The message is the same. Yesterday, today, forever. Bless you. Stay safe.